Let's go up.
Here, I got you.
Right. Higher. See, I can squat. My legs get might get tired, but
how's that?
Yeah, it works. Hi, fam. I'm an addict named David.
Hey, David.
I know. A little nervous, but my sponsor, of course, sent me a text message right before this started, and he's like, "Get out of the way and let God." So I'm going to ask you guys to take a moment of silence with me for real quick, so I can get out of the way and let God take over. Thank you. All right. I love this little thing. This, my iPad, lets me take every NA book we have made and carry it in this instead of that big leather thing with all the books in it. So I got every book in here. And yes, I did purchase them, so NA is getting the proceeds. They ain't bootleg copies. You know, the funny thing is, my sponsor was talking to me about that yesterday, because I sent him an old bootleg copy of the basic text, and he still uses it. But I went ahead and bought one, because I was like, no, I've got to actually pay for this. But, you know, that's a side note. you know, I want to give thanks to the Northeast Freedom Area for asking me to come, and James. It's always an honor to be asked to speak anywhere. And this is a topic which is very dear to my heart, sponsorship. I'm going to apologize now if I get a little overly emotional. And you'll understand why when I, you know, once I've shared. To me, sponsorship involves three parts. And I'm not going to read you guys stuff you can get out of the basic text. We all know how to read. I can share with you my experience, strength, and hope from what I've gotten through sponsorship. And that's the message of Narcotics Anonymous, is our experience, strength, and hope with what we've done with everything. But to me, there's three parts. You've got your sponsor, you got your sponsee, and you got the relationship between the two and all that, you know, the intermingling, the hang, you know, that you get from that discussion between the both of you. So I'm going to try and kind of focus on each part a little bit. There'll probably be a lot of intermingling of them. You know, when I came here back in July of 1999, I was lost. I was hurting. You know, I had no self-acceptance, no self-worth. I didn't like the person I saw in the mirror. But in my head, I wasn't an addict. You know, I just needed to get a couple things straightened out. You know, I needed to figure out why I was being unsuccessful and had some bad luck. You know, because I came in here and was like, I'm not an addict. I don't, you know, I couldn't define what I was. You know, if that was a weekend warrior, a binger, a social addict, whatever it might be, I didn't know what it was. I just needed you guys to give me some tips so I could, you know, be a little more successful at what I did. Despite all those, you know, justifications and exceptions that I was trying to give, I still didn't like me. I didn't like what my life had become. All the people I'd let down, all the people I'd hurt. I kept coming back, though. It was kind of funny, actually, because, you know, I kept hearing about how I had to trust it to work. Hell, I went to my first meeting, and you guys weren't even there. Walked, I'm like, see? I was like, you bunch of motherfucking liars. You ain't even here. Of course, if I'd gone to the right part of the church and seen the sign that said, we have to move this week because of a church function. So, of course, I had to have that paper signed. So my little smart ass, I waited a whole week because I was going to go back to that same meeting, show them, see, they don't exist. Fuck y'all. I'm right again, even though I'd never been right. And so I waited that week and went back, and the meeting was there. I was like, damn it. You know, I was like, okay. you know, and I kept... Okay, somebody wants to get in and hear the message, obviously. This is my sponsor guy here. Alright. Okay, I'm all messed up now. Yeah. All right. So yeah. So I got the meeting was back. The meeting was there, and I was like, okay, well, here we go. I kept going back. Like I said, I had to get that paper signed. I put myself into treatment, and you guys kept saying, trust the process. And I was like, yeah, whatever. They go, get a sponsor, work the steps. Okay, yeah, whatever. I sat in that first meeting. That, you know, the first guy got up, come over and hugged me. As soon as I sat down, I was like, oh shit, what's he gonna do? He said, get up, give me a hug. And that was the first example of the love of this fellowship given to me as soon as I walked in the door. That man ended up becoming my sponsee brother. Because as we sat there and another, more guys came in, I sat and listened, and they read through the readings, and I was, of course, still convinced that I wasn't an addict. I could do this myself. As they read the reading, hell, I had worked the first 7 steps by the time they finished reading how it worked. I was, okay, I'm going to step 8 now and start making some amends. We're good. I resisted. I didn't want to have to get a sponsor. I didn't want to trust anybody. Everybody, any interaction I'd ever had in my life, those people stabbed me in the back, took what I had, or disgraced me somehow, ruined, whatever. I couldn't put trust in people, especially a bunch of addicts sitting in a circle. How the hell am I going to trust you people? But they just kept saying, get a sponsor, work the steps. You'll build a trusting relationship, caring relationship. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I kept trying that self-sponsorship. Guess what? It kept failing. I kept going back out. Finally, I kept coming back because I had to get that little damn paper sign. And I kept seeing the same people still there. They kept hugging me. Welcome back. We're glad you're here. And the same faces every time. That was my first time feeling of acceptance. Maybe I am loved. Maybe these guys do want me here for some reason. I figured maybe I should give this a try. Maybe I should, figure this thing out. See if, if I could find someone, find that sponsor, and somebody that had something I wanted. I kept seeing the same faces. And so I was like, okay. And so my little smart-ass self, because one of the ways I justified myself was, oh, I'm smart. I've got a degree. I've got this, that. I didn't have a degree at that point. But, I was always an honor student and this, that, and the other. And I was like, I'm going to put these guys through a trial. And so I picked out 5 guys. I was like, okay, one of these 5 are going to be my guy I asked to sponsor me. So I was, talking to him, asking him questions. Ah, got to cross that guy off the list. He didn't answer that right. I kept, thinking I was so smart and how I was going to determine who got the privilege of being my sponsor. Well, one of them, he kept reaching out and, hey, let's go to a meeting. I'll come pick you up. And of course, because I couldn't drive because my license was suspended. And this guy was always there for me. He was like, come on. He goes, I'll take you to a meeting. I'll come get you. And I lived 15 minutes away from him, but he still came and got me. And he always shared with me openly, honestly, and always smiled and hugged me and said, hey, keep coming back. Love you. And I just was like, okay. Well, then I went to a meeting one night, and he was there. It was one of the meetings. It was on my way home from work, like in a direct line, and I was allowed to drive to work. So if the meeting was on my way home from work, I was allowed to go to the meeting because if I could fit it in and say, oh, I'm on my way home. And he was sharing. He was giving a lead. And I was sitting there listening to him. I was like, wait a minute. I never told you my story, and I never gave you permission to share it. And all of a sudden I realized, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not alone. Maybe these people can relate to me. Because he did. He told my story. All the frustrations. All the, issues with trust and women and all sorts of stuff. And I was like, holy shit. Man, where I narrowed it down, and I was only getting down to him and another one, I was like, this is the one. I got to ask him to be my sponsor. He did. He looked at me and he's like, yes, I will sponsor you. He goes, you will call me every day and you will work the steps. Or no, he said, do you want to work the steps? And I was like, well, that's going to keep me clean. And he's like, yeah. I was like, well, yeah, then I want to do it. So I did. I called him every day. You know, and no matter what, I called and checked in. You know, sometimes it was just like, and he would just start a conversation with me. And usually that conversation would flow. And by talking to him, I could get out if anything was bothering me. You know, usually he would get it out of me just through normal conversation. Of course, at the same time, the good little self-centered, egotistical asshole that I am, I kept thinking, well, I could still do things my way. And lo and behold, even with that sponsor, I kept changing my clean date. You know, like I said, I got in here in July 99. I was changing my clean date pretty much every week, every 2 weeks, you know, something like that. Especially when payday came. Payday came, it was over. He kept loving me and believing in me, no matter what. You know? So he kept welcoming me back. Say, what didn't work that time?
Yeah.
And I would get on. I'd try to be honest with him. You know, that honesty was still real short with me. You know, I wasn't going to tell him any full honesty because, hell, I didn't want him to get to know me that well. But I kept coming back. He kept, despite me changing my day, he kept loving me. He kept sharing his experience, strength, and hope. He kept saying, here it is. And he believed in me. And he would tell me that. He goes, I believe in you. You can do this. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. Why the hell are you going to believe in me? But that's what they taught him when he got here. I'll never forget. My first sponsor was a convention junkie. He bounced all over the United States. If there was a convention going on, he usually tried to get to it. All of a sudden, I think at this point I'd maybe gotten together a month in a row. Month and a half. And he goes, all right. He goes, and this is, again, in the 90s. So he's like, all right, you got to, I'm going to go to the European convention. I was like, huh? He goes, yeah, I'm going over to Europe. I'm going to the convention over there. I was like, okay, he goes, you still have to call every day. Your phone's probably not going to ring there. And I was like, I can't afford the calls to Europe. He goes, no. He goes, you're not going to call me. He goes, you're going to call another addict every day. Excuse me? What? And he goes, all those numbers you've been collecting, you know, where people get, back then, people just get out our schedule and write their number on the back of it and hand it to you. He goes, you've got numbers, you call them. He goes, and when I get back, I want to see the proof. I'm like, proof? I was going to just lie. Yeah, I do it every day. But he had taught me how I could do that. He taught me how to use the phone because he made me call him every day. Now I had to learn to call you guys every day too. By doing that, I started to learn there's other people here that can relate to me. You know? Of course, again, being the self-centered, egotistical asshole that I am, I relapsed while he was gone. You want to know what the worst part of that was? He'd asked me to house sit for him while he was gone. And I relapsed in my sponsor's house. And that was one thing I had a tough time forgiving myself for. Because I was like, you know, that man trusted me and loved me. And here I used in his house. I wasn't getting it. And I remember one day, we were sitting in a meeting, and he just, you know, kind of real nonchalantly, out of the blue, says, take the cotton out of your ears, shove it in your mouth. Listen. That worked to a point, because I was one of those people, here I am with no time, and I could tell, I could tell you guys how to work your recovery. And he kept saying, you don't know shit. Have you worked a step? Have you got any clean time behind you? Shut up. He goes, the only time you should open your mouth is when you got a problem, you need experience, strength, and hope on it, because you put up the topic, and then shut up and listen. That's what I needed. I needed a sponsor that was going to lay the fist down to me, kind of, because it's just, that was my, my ego needed to be told, shut up and do as you're told, not as you hear in your ears. I still changed my clean day a couple more times, and I will never to this day forget my sponsor. I think he was finally tired of it. It was pushing him to the edge, and I still to this day I can't understand why he had so much confidence that I would get this. But I will never forget him. He was nose to nose with me, and my mom's not even been this close to me, boy. And he looked me straight dead in the eyes, and he goes, God damn it, David, you're going to kill yourself. Work the steps or die, motherfucker. And I'm like,
what?
Oh, shit. And I thought he was going to punch me there for a second. But it drove home a point to me. Because just the way he said it, work the steps or die, motherfucker. It hit me. I was like, damn, maybe I do got to do this shit. And We started that relationship right then. Through one of my relapses, I unfortunately got to spend a few days in jail. And he told me, he goes, that'll give you time to work on your program. I was like, I'm not allowed to take anything in with me. I have to go in and sit. He goes, why don't you try? So I walked in to check myself into jail carrying my 12-step working guide. And they looked at me and go, what's that? I was like, you said I could only bring life essential material.
Oh.
I need this to live. Bring it in. They let me carry that in. I worked my 12-step, or my first step, in my jail cot. And that really hit home for me, to that powerlessness. And, he helped me with that. Because he said, take it in there and do it. He taught me to be of service. I will never forget, we were going down to West Virginia, I think it was, and I didn't have any money. He goes, don't worry. He goes, I got you covered. He goes, you'll be fine. He goes, but when we get there, he goes, you volunteer. For what? He goes, I don't care. Just give me a service. He goes, that's how you pay back. Okay. So I helped with cleaning up and stuff. And he always taught me, he goes, no matter where you go, I don't care how long you've got clean, you be of service. And so I'm proud to say wherever I go, I've been to 6 World Service Conference or World Conventions. I've been of service at every one of them. Worked a cash register, led a meeting, whatever it might be. I've always done something because I have to give back what was so freely given to me by you guys. And that sponsor drove that home to me. He gave me feelings, I guess you could say, of self-worth. I started to care for myself because I could tell he was caring for me. One of the things he told me when I asked him to be my sponsor was, let's work the steps, let's go through this program together. Let me love you until you can love yourself. He goes, he asked me, he goes, can you do me one favor? And I was like, what's that? He goes, give this a try. He goes, work these 12 steps. Work them to the best of your ability. He goes, if you're not satisfied at the end of working those 12 steps and you don't feel different or like a new person, he goes, your misery will be fully refunded to you as I let you walk out the door. Okay. But that hit home too. It's like, I don't want that misery back. Because I was starting to get that feeling of, that recovery feeling. Like I said, I was feeling some worth. And he was putting that in me. My sponsor kept telling me, you're worthy of this. You deserve it. You can have this. You can have what I have. You just have to open your arms and take it. As we, we worked through the steps together, he would always do so much for me. There'd be times everybody would be going out to eat after the meeting. Of course, I had no money because I was, new in recovery. And he'd go, you want to go out to eat? And I'm like, no, I ain't got any money. He goes, I didn't ask if you had money. So I said, do you want to go out to eat? Okay. He'd buy my food. You know, he would always be there for me. If I called, he always answered. Or if he didn't, he called me back real soon. You know, he always made sure that I knew I wasn't left out there. You know, that sponsor was there for me no matter what, which they told me that person, you know, somebody I can confide in. I remember asking him one point, I was like, how can I ever repay you for all this? You know, how can I, you bought my meals so many times, you know, you've driven me places, picked me up for meetings. He goes, you want to know how to repay me? He goes, give that, do it for that next addict once you've got your license. That addict that needs to ride to a meeting, go pick him up. Person, you know, is in a meeting, you can tell he's struggling, take him out to eat after the meeting. If you can, once you're ready to do that. And I was like, okay. And, you know, that was one of the greatest gifts he ever gave me. Because I take pride in that today. You know, somebody tells me they need a ride, hey, I got you. You know, the other night, there was a few of us going out to eat after my home group. Ag was like, no, I'm going home. I was like, why? Because I ain't got no money. I was like, come on, I didn't ask if you had money. And I put him in my car, and I was like, let's go. And that's the stuff, you know, my sponsor taught me, to give back what was freely given to me. You know, in choosing sponsors, you know, like I said, I was doing my whole little qualifying test thing. But, you know, it isn't a lifetime contract either. You know, I know many people that have had the same sponsor their entire time. I know people that say, yeah, I've had the same sponsor for 35 years. I've been in this program for 25 years. I've had 4 sponsors. They were all the perfect sponsor when I had them, you know, when I asked them. And I was taught that, you know, if your sponsor isn't the best sponsor in NA, maybe you need to look for a new sponsor. But then we grew apart. You know, that first sponsor I had, he had his defects. As our relationship grew so close together, and we got to the point where we were sharing back and forth. We were, you know, together a lot. And I was seeing his defects come out, his shortcomings, things he wasn't fully working on. And it was starting to affect my recovery. You know, as he would, you know, he was starting to do some, you know, he would judge other people. I remember, you know, we'd be driving down the road and he'd be cussing, flipping people off because they were driving too fast in the slow lane. And if they passed him, he'd almost, you know, cut them off. But I saw these defects and I saw myself one day, I started judging somebody. And I was like, but I was using the rationale I had heard him do with somebody. I'm like, I can't be, this is not right. And so, you know, I was like, maybe it might be time for me to change. You know, I'd had him at this point for a few years, you know, I think 2.5 years. And I was like, okay, so I started thinking maybe I need to change sponsors. So I did, you know. And one thing I will recommend to anybody, if you think, hey, this relationship's come to the point where it needs to be changed now, you got to have another sponsor in place first before it, because if you don't, you're sponsoring yourself again. And I've already proven that doesn't work, so you guys don't have to. I went, you know, I got another sponsor, and we knew each other well. Now, the one I'd wanted a different guy at first, and he was honest with me. He goes, David, I'd love to, but I can't. I can't sponsor you. And I was hurt. I was like, oh, fuck you then, you know. And you always say you're here for me. But in the end, he couldn't do it because it would affect his recovery. Because I've already got too many sponsees. I've already got people I can't give my time back to. He had the most clean time in our area. You know, when I got here, he had 17 years. I don't think there was anybody else but maybe with 10. So, of course, everybody wanted him to be the sponsor. So, you know, I ended up asking another man. And it was great because we had so much in common. We had so many different, you know, commonalities, things I could relate to. And again, it was things he had that I wanted. He was into a successful relationship. He was working the program. He was involved with service. He had all those things that I knew made a successful member of Narcotics Anonymous and kept your butt clean, because I'd seen it in that first 2.5 years I'd been here. I don't know if it was whatever the case might have been. I went on. I had, at this point, from all the gifts you guys had given me, I had gotten many things back. You know, I had my own car. I was back in school to finish my degree. But I also got so many things back and started looking at the materialistic crap. I started putting things ahead of my recovery. Despite my sponsor trying to say, hey, you know, make sure you mean attention to something. Yeah, when was the last time you worked on that step? I wasn't hearing it because, oh, well, I'm going to work on that step this weekend because I got to get this ready for this exam tomorrow. And, of course, you know, one of my character defects when I got here was, if I just get in the right relationships, this is going to make so much better because I won't be chasing anymore. I won't be going to the bars looking for the cook or whatever. So needless to say, by putting all those things ahead of my recovery, I relapsed with 3.5 years clean. You know, I failed a test at school, not because I didn't know the material, because I stayed up too late the night before chasing that piece of ass and being in the wrong places with the wrong people at the wrong times. Not reaching out to my sponsor, not hanging out with the winners. The one thing they told me when I got here, you win, you stick with the winners, and you win with the stickers. And I wasn't sticking with them. I was thinking, I got a little experience now. I can hang out with people from school, with old friends, because I am in recovery. I know my steps. But again, you've heard it before. You keep going to the barbershop enough times, you're asking to get a haircut eventually. You know. So I kept that sponsor. When I was out there using, and at that time I stayed out for almost a year. Well, no, right. This was just about a year. A guy in the program that was in my sponsorship family originally came into where I worked, and he was like, "How's everything going?" And you know, he was just trying to poke and prod, I guess you say. And I was like, "Oh, I'm fine. I haven't had any spiritual consequences, and life's pretty grand. No problems really from the choices I've made." I was lying my ass off to him because, you know, I was beating myself up inside. And he just patted me on the shoulder and hugged me. He goes, "Keep coming back. You know where we're at when you need us." And that stung. And needless to say, I was at a meeting within a couple weeks because that just kept ringing in my ears. But when I went back, I was like, okay. I don't know why. I was like, I got to change sponsors again because obviously I thought I relapsed. And it wasn't his fault. It was my fault. You know, I was the one that made the choice. I was the one who didn't keep my recovery first. My step work, my contact with my sponsor, I didn't keep that first. So as soon as I put something in front of my recovery, I lost my recovery. You know, and eventually I went back. I remember it was the last night I used, and I was like, fuck this. I can't do this anymore. You know, I'd gone back to, like I said, I'd gone back to a couple meetings, and I thought, I still thought my will would work, and I was just at the point of death. I remember I looked in the mirror, my heart was jumping out of my chest, I had changed colors, I was like orange, because I was killing my liver, and I was like, well, as my heart's going crazy, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I know what works. And so I went in and I called my old grand sponsor. And he answered. He's like, "How are you, David?" And I was like, "I'm ready to surrender. I can't do this." He goes, "Are you ready to work these steps and make this your life?" And I was like, "Yes." I told him, I was like, "Because if you got my first sponsor clean, I know you can get my ass clean." So he was like, "Yes, I'll become your sponsor now." So he went from having originally been my grand sponsor, now he was my sponsor. You know, and that man and I went through the entire steps together. And he opened my eyes to a lot of things. You know, he taught me, you know, that, you know, no matter what, if you focus on your step work and you work this program, you can get through anything. I remember when we were, as soon as we finished my 12th step, he goes, "What's your common core through all that? What's the one thing you see in all this step work you've done now together?" And I'm sitting there like, "What are you talking about?" And but then it hit me, and I started looking back. And I go, and he said it right with me: self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. Everything is the core of my disease is my self-centeredness. Whether it's what can I get out of you, what can I do to make you like me so you don't notice my defects as easily. You know, whatever the case might be, everything was grounded, centered on my self-centeredness. And he opened my eyes to that. And I knew it. I'd done my steps. I'd, you know, done it. But just the way he put it all together for me, he made me understand, this is why we work this program. This is why we do this step work. And then he goes, guess what? I was like, what? He goes, you don't get a diploma. You're back on step one. Okay, cool. He goes, you're going to open some new stuff now. He goes, you're going to go through again, and you know, you'll realize some new things. Now, unfortunately, that sponsor and I also started growing apart. Because he was like me. He was in the medical field. At that point, I had gotten my degree, and you know, my life was getting going well again. You know, I had years under me. And with his, you know, he had a business in the medical field, and we were just, you know, we were going apart just because of time and distance. And then he ended up moving to Florida too. So I was like, okay, at the end of that 12th step, I was like, maybe it's time to ask a new sponsor. And so another guy that I'd always admired his recovery and always enjoyed what he had, I asked him to be my sponsor. And that man's now been my sponsor for the last 15 years. And, you know, he's the one that sent me a message right before I got up saying, get out of the way and let God. It's like, okay. He's always got that spiritual connection for me. He can put me, my mind in the right place. You know, I can call him no matter what. Something's bothering me. Something's, you know, this happened to me. I don't understand this. And he'll talk me through it. He'll be like, well, you know, think about it this way. Or, you know, or he'll say some, you know, he can even use these different beliefs from Hindu to Christian to whatever. It just seems like he always knows what to say at the right time and the right moment. And he, you know, he always recenters me. Then, of course, I want to talk from the other side, too, because, you know, I've got my sponsees. And it's kind of neat because now with the different perspectives I've always gotten in recovery, they all kind of mix and blend together within me, and I share them all with my sponsees. You know, they'll add, you know, I've had sponsee look at me and go, well, where'd you get that? I was like, my sponsor. And because I tell them, I was like, because, you know, I've got a sponsor. He's got a sponsor. And guess what? His sponsor's got a sponsor. His sponsor's got a sponsor. I was like, it's what we call our sponsorship family. I was like, we have, you know, we have regular annual gatherings. Some of you might know my grand sponsor now, Kirk R. from Dayton. He comes over to Baltimore. But he usually gets it together, and we meet once a year as a whole sponsorship family and get together, have speakers within it, and all sorts of stuff. It's really cool. But, you know, with my sponsees, I like to be able to share with them what I've learned from you guys and what my sponsors have shared with me. Try to give them the same love, admiration, and trust that they're going to get this too. Sometimes I have to remember, you know, I'm just a guide. I can't be their teacher, their expert, their anything. I just have to be their guide. I don't have all the answers. I have to remember that I have to love them no matter what, give them my experience, strength, and hope, and be there to answer the damn phone when they call. There's times I know I'll be getting killed with work or whatever, or I'm having a bad day, and I'll see one of my sponsees on the phone. It's like, at first I was like, God, what's he calling about? Am I going to be able to deal with this? And I was like, okay, I got to answer it anyways. And that always helps me. As a sponsee, it's your job to find a sponsor. They always said the requirements, you know, being that they have knowledge of the 12 steps, somebody that, you know, you can, that has something that you want, and usually somebody that has more clean time than you. You got to call them regularly, ask for help, which I wasn't always good at. I was not always good at asking for help. But every one of my sponsors told me, always call me before you use. Don't call me afterwards. Like, guys, I can't help you then. As the sponsee, it's my job to work the steps. And I tell my sponsees that. It's like, you know, I will be your guide through the steps. You have to do the work. You have to write them out, come to me with it, and we'll go over it together. And I'll share my experience, drinking hope with you on them. I remember as a sponsee with that first sponsor. And, you know, when I was like, how am I going to trust another one of these addicts people? And I spoon-fed him. It's like, you know, I was like, okay, well, here's a little bit about me. And I started telling him some of the, well, I did this one time. And I kept giving him a little bit more. And I never heard it back out of another addict's mouth. Shit, he kept that shit to himself. He didn't share my shit with Front Street. And so that helped build that trust. Because I realized that he was there for me. He wasn't there to go, holy shit, you want to know what Dave did? You know, and that was great. You know, that showed me that no matter what, I could trust him no matter what. The relationship between sponsor and sponsee, it says right on the cover of our sponsorship book, the heart of NA beats when two addicts share their recovery. And that's the base, you know, that's the foundation of the sponsorship relationship. You know, I was closed off from humans when I got here. I didn't want anything to do with anybody because I didn't want anybody to know me. And my earliest involvement with another human being was my sponsor because he got to know me. He talked to me on a one-to-one level. I didn't feel like a number. I didn't feel like anything bad. But he talked to me. You know, sometimes sponsorship can lead to friendship. But they told me in the beginning, your sponsor is just that, a guide through the 12 steps. When I got friendship from it too, that was a bonus. By sharing my step work, by sharing my heart, we grew closer. And the best part about it was, he helped me put my heart back together. You know, when I thought it was, you know, shattered from everything I'd done, I not only could share it with him, he helped me put it back together. That friendship also grew, you know, because that's when I learned the sponsorship family. You know, and I got close. You know, my last grand sponsor before the one I have now, I would call him as much as I would call my sponsor because we all had great relationships together. And he had so much experience, strength, and hope in this fellowship. I could always, he told me, he goes, whenever you can't get Mike, you call me. Because I will always answer the phone if I'm available. But they, you know, they all walked me through these steps and shared with me. You know, my first sponsor, as I worked that first step, and I thought I was different, he goes, well, if you're so smart, why are you here? He goes, oh, is your life unmanageable? Let's work that first step. And, you know, it hit home with me. That comfort and closeness also leads to times then when I'm getting ready to call him. I know what he's going to say to me. But that's one of the gifts of recovery. Because then if I don't get a hold of him, I know what to do. I know what my sponsor's going to share with me. I came close to all mine, and they shared with me as much as I did with them. You know, they've all shared on different things. You know, my first sponsor came to me after I had gotten rid of him, and he thanked me. He goes, thank you for dumping me. I was like, what? He goes, you opened my eyes to what I need to work on in my recovery and the things, my defects that I was ignoring. He goes, and I'm a better person for it now. And that's the two-way street of recovery. That's how this program works. By me finding what I needed in my recovery, it showed him too. Last things I want to, you know, go over. I was supposed to have two sponsees come with me this weekend. Life happens though. One of my sponsees called me Wednesday, bawling. because his mom had been in the high. He'd shared a week before that he couldn't. He's like, I haven't been able to talk to my mom. She reads the text messages I can see, but I'm not. You know, she's not calling me back. Yada yada yada. And then he found out she was in the hospital. He calls me ball on Wednesday. He goes, she's been pronounced terminal. She's going to die. And I was like, but you can be there for her today. And so, you know, he didn't get. He was supposed to secretary this meeting. And I was like, no. He goes, you don't need to worry about Baltimore. You need to be with your mom right now. And so she can enjoy her son. You know, because she can see you clean now. Because his mom's in recovery, too. A week and 2 days ago, I got a phone call. And I was working away, and it was my other sponsee. I looked down, and I saw his name on the caller ID. We always had a thing, he always called me every day, 4 o'clock it seemed like. It'd be by the book, 4 o'clock. If I was getting killed with work, I would just hit the little can't talk right now button. I did that right then. I saw a text message come back. He always would text me, okay, just checking in. Did that that day. I was like, all right, cool. Then I didn't even look at the text message. I saw that he texted me back. I was like, okay, it's all right, his typical thing. I went. Got done with my day. I ended up getting off like a half hour late because all the work I had done that was just killing me. So basically almost 2 hours later, I finally got to look at that phone and opened it up. And it was actually his sister. Harry left me a suicide note. And I was like, and I had just talked to Harry, you know, my sponsor. I just talked to him the night before. He was great. He called me every day. He did those things I asked him to do in recovery. And of course, I said I will meet. You know, I was going to meet him that night in a meeting because there was a meeting right down the street from his house. So I text her back, and she wasn't answering me too quick. She's like, "I'm trying to find out information." So I was like, "Well, I'm still going to do what I said because I have to fulfill my part as sponsor." And I started heading towards that meeting. And she called me on the way. We just found his body. He's dead. I still went to that meeting. You know, I shared. I was like, you know, my first sponsor told me when I got here, make sure I bought a jacket. And I was like, why? He goes, because you're going to bury some people. You know, and I told him in that meeting, it's not supposed to be my sponsee. He was doing so well, I thought. You know, he was opening up. He was starting to share with me. And I was seeing growth. I was seeing change. But he also has a mental illness that he wasn't treating. And I don't care what you think. Being in recovery helps you with your addiction. If you've got a mental disease, it's not a bad thing. But get the outside help you need. Because that is why it's there. We can't fix everything in Narcotics Anonymous. We can help you with your addiction. We can help you stay clean. I am in the medical field. I'm a nurse. I'm not a doctor. I can't prescribe you something to help you with whatever medical condition you've got. And he taught me that. But that's, again, it's a two-way street. I know now, you know, it wasn't my fault that he died, that he killed himself. I now know, no matter what, that I was there for him. And my sponsor, you know, who talks to me as I'm driving down there, he goes, you did everything right. You were there for him. You loved him, even though he couldn't love himself. I'm going to share this and shut up. You know, this is the week of my anniversary. 3 days ago, I celebrated 20 years clean. And it's always tried to make a habit of mine. The week of my anniversary, we do an NA road trip. And it sucks because I didn't have really any time after the, you know, my sponsor killed himself and the other one with his mom. I couldn't rustle up anybody else to come. You know, on 2 days notice, hey, let's go to Baltimore. But I know the love, you know, from everybody. I had so many people call me driving here. It's not even funny. You all right, Dave? How's the ride? You're not alone. I'm here if you need to talk. Because they knew that I was playing with my head. Because they knew, regardless, this ain't supposed to happen to me. Again, I'm different. My sponsee's not supposed to kill himself. But life happens. I want to thank you guys again for allowing me to share. Sponsorship today, has shown me that despite that I'm imperfect and I don't have all the answers, that I am loved, I am valued, and I am cared for. My sponsor showed me that. And the gift of gratitude that I've got today, I've got gratitude for my sponsor, my program, my sponsees, being shown that there's a new way to live. And just for today, I can stay clean another day. And you guys helped me do that today. I pass.